I, Jason Russell, hate the Golden State Warriors. That's all I wanted to start the show with. I just needed to get that out there. I wanted those to be the first words of the episode because I hate them. I just do. I hate them. I don't know what else to say, Sam.
Yeah, this is dangerous, man. I think we are both on full tilt at what we just saw.
I know.
From a Kings team that couldn't shoot the ball in the ocean tonight in the second half, and then did Steph miss a shot? I know it said he missed,
certainly
like,
didn't feel like
four
it.
Of them, but I don't believe that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it. Let me set the stage for you all. The Kings Warriors game just ended. Kings home opener. Kings lose, and we are, I don't know, 30 seconds removed from that game ending.
Yep.
So we got fresh takes about the Sacramento Kings in that game and just the whole beginning of the season for the Kings. That's kind of why we waited. We waited until we got one game under our belt, and then we waited until we had the home opener under our belt as well. So we are two games into the NBA season. We will be getting to football later. But we're going to start with the basketball. We're going to start with the Kings because it's been a while since we've gotten a chance to talk about our Sacramento Kings. We had an awesome start against the Jazz. It looked absolutely amazing. We'll kind of go back to that. But right now, just because it's hot off the press, I agree with you. It certainly didn't feel like Curry missed four shots. I felt like everything he put up he had 41 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. And the thing that's just so annoying, and obviously Sam and I don't like actually like physically hate him, but like from a fan perspective, like, man, he just seems to revel in beating the Kings now. And I'm sure that the playoff series from last year has a big, is a big reason for that. Mm-hmm. But my God, he was just rubbing it in the Kings fans' face, which honestly, if you're him, I would do it too. But like, oh, it's so annoying.
I mean, we're October 27th, and he's celebrating like it's a playoff game. I know. it definitely had that sort of feel and atmosphere of these teams just don't like each other. And that was even with Draymond not in the game. If Draymond was in the game, it would have been worse. Because I think Draymond is by far my least favorite player in the NBA. Mm. Absolutely despise him. Absolutely. Everything, every second he's on the court is the worst. And it sucks because I have nothing against Curry.
No, I don't either.
It's an immense amount of respect in his game because, yes. I mean, he has just tormented not just the Kings, but the entire league for a decade now, ever since he got healthy consistently. I mean, he's been a top three, top two NBA player any season for the last decade, right? But there's now this attitude with him that this attitude of, oh, it's us against the world. You guys are the freaking Warriors. You guys are this is like the Patriots acting like they're underdogs. No, you guys are the Golden State Warriors. I'm sorry. You're not tricking anybody here. And this is the Sacramento Kings. All right. And this is just, I mean, it's frustrating because you have Golden State. And I still think Sacramento is more talented than Golden State.
From top to bottom, I agree. But
and this is by far the worst the Kings could have played. They shot 30% from three. They shot 43% from the field.
Yeah.
They turned the Warriors over 19 times. I think the Warriors had like 6 straight turnovers in the fourth quarter that allowed the Kings to come back.
The Warriors had 16 turnovers.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I've got the box score from Google right now.
Well, then ESPN is wrong because they have it at 19. But it doesn't matter.
Either way.
Like the Warriors were giving them chances. And I don't even think I was mad about the Kings. Yeah, the offense got a little stagnant a little bit. But they were producing open looks. And guys like Kevin and Keegan and Duarte weren't hitting.
Herter had 0 points.
Yeah, and he had great looks. I mean, he had wide open looks. Keegan had a lot of wide open looks, and he went like 3 for 11, 3 for 10.
I know, but he still had 16 points and 8 rebounds. Like,
yeah, he looks good. He was active too. He was active on the defensive end. He was active on the glass, getting it going, crashing the offensive boards. And Duarte, yeah, defensively, he was able to do some stuff, but offensively, I mean, he is just he's not fitting in with the Colts. Like, the ball is just with him for too long, and he's not hitting open shots in both of these couple games. He hit a couple threes against the Jazz, but
I'd love to see some Kessler Edwards run. I really would.
No, but that's worse. I mean, that's worse offensively. Like, they need,
I don't know,
they need Kevin Huerter to hit shots.
I don't know if it's any worse. I know Duarte hit a couple good shots in the first game. I don't think he's definitely not void of, like, being an offensive option.
No, he averaged 17 points a couple years ago for Indiana. I mean, the dude can hit bucket. I just don't think he's fully in with that pace. Like, he's sort of used to a slower pace.
I guess you're right. I mean, if you come play with the Kings, then you're playing with the fastest offense in the NBA, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're playing with the most efficient offense in the NBA as well. So things have to be constantly moving. Sabonis had the most quiet game. I did not realize he had 17 rebounds. That was extreme. He out-rebounded Looney by 5.
Oh yeah,
and he had 19 points. He had the most quiet game, I think, of
yeah, anybody. He missed a lot of close, easy looks. JaVale McGee, I like the minutes that JaVale put in.
Yeah.
But there's just so many balls that he's getting right underneath the basket, and he's losing the ball or not being able to put a shot up or missing like an easy look there. And that happened too many times.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 7 points, 4 rebounds, played some good defense. Hopefully he can get rid of the sort of butterfingers thing that he was showing tonight. I'm seeing something right here. It looks like a couple. I'm just on Google right now, like, what's trending, like, posts about the Kings. Somebody had posted Kevin Huerter through 2 games, 3.5 points per game, 1 for 14 from the field, 1 for 10 from the 3-point line.
Yeah,
that's rough for a guy who's supposed to be our sharpshooter.
And that's carrying on from the first round of the playoffs last year.
Yes.
You know, and that's just building up. Also, from the free throw line, like, they were able to get to the free throw line 29 times, but missed 9 of them.
69%, yeah, from the line.
And a lot of those were in that second half. That was the frustrating part. Like, HB was doing such a good job of getting to the line, and Sabonis was doing a great job of getting to the line and getting the Warriors in foul trouble, but they weren't capitalizing on that. And that just infuriated the heck out of me, because we're slowing down this game, slowing down this pace, and we're not even cashing in on it. Yeah, I'm worried about Huerter, because I think Mike Brown's going to go to Duarte to start, and I just think that's not – if Duarte's hitting, then great, but Kevin has the ability to really take over a game with his shooting if he's making shots.
Yeah, no, he absolutely does. Google just updated my turnovers. It's now 18 for the ones that the 18.
Oh, they're still turning the ball over?
That's crazy. I guess so. After the game is over, they've turned it over twice since the end of the game. I don't know. You and I had talked about it recently. I don't mind the idea of bringing in a defensive guy for the starting unit, as long as Duarte can provide some level of offense. I don't think sacrificing his defense, because it's one of those things where, what would you prefer, the defensive peak that Duarte can bring in or the offensive peak that Huerter can bring? And I think what you'd be gaining from Herter's offensive peak is more than what you'd be gaining from Duarte's defensive peak. However, we don't really have a defensive guy necessarily. Mm-hmm. I know Fox he's a very underrated defender. He actually is pretty decent on defense, but we really don't have a defensive guy in that starting unit. So I don't mind the idea of bringing Duarte in. He just needs to be able to provide, you know, at least like 10, 12 points a game. And then Herter, Malik, Sasha, JaVale, and Davion. That's an outstanding second unit, especially offensively. That's not. I mean, like Davion, that's your defensive guy.
It wasn't looking like it tonight.
He had some really good defensive plays. Steph.
You gotta Steph send me those because I couldn't find them.
Steph got him quite a few times, but either way, we all know that Davion is one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. That's your defensive guy and that second unit. Malik can play good defense when he wants to. JaVale is pretty much only in there for defense and rebounding. And then Sasha and Malik and, you know, Herter can sort of carry the offense with that second unit. So I don't think it would be a terrible move to bring Duarte in, but because I definitely think the second unit, if with Duarte coming off the bench, our second unit is much more defensive heavy with Duarte, Malik, JaVale, and Davion. I know Malik can kind of do both. He's probably more of an offensive guy, but there are definitely more people who I think you'd classify as defensive like dudes. with the second unit than with our starting unit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I think Keegan's gotten better on defense. I think he was like he was like a turnstile last year where he was lengthy, but guys were just getting around him. I think he's definitely shown that he's a little bit better this year. Like, I'm not worried about him as like a liability. You know, there's a lot of times, right? We can say like Davion had a couple put in a lot of effort against Steph. I think Kevin puts effort in on the defensive side.
He was second in the team for the team last year in deflections. Like, he was actually pretty good off ball.
Right.
He's not a great on ball defender, but he's a good team defender.
Well, I mean, even in moments like there was that that crazy mid range shot that Steph hit, but Steph had to go 3, 4, 5 moves on Kevin and then move around the screen. Like, I don't know if we can take a lot from this game because I think the Warriors are just an awful matchup for the Kings. I don't think even if Jrue Holiday was on this Sacramento Kings roster, I still don't think they can guard Steph Curry because of what he poses for defenses as a team. I just don't think the Kings as a team are equipped to defend him and his movement off ball.
So far, I will say I've been wrong about the whole Chris Paul to Golden State thing. I didn't think it was going to look all that. I truthfully did not know how that was going to work. But
do you think it's that good?
I think it's much better than I anticipated it. And I just from the standpoint of, I understand that Chris Paul has primarily been, I feel like calling him a pass-first point guard is really doing him a disrespect. Like, he's been a good scorer throughout his entire career, but I think you associate Chris Paul with, like, being just an outstanding floor – like, one of the best
– he's the point
floor
guard.
Generals. Yeah, like, one of the best floor generals, if not the best just pure floor general of all time. Again, I don't want to do a disservice to him because he was a great scorer. I guess it's one of those things where if he is primarily just going to take the role as I'm just going to let Steph run around and set up everybody else on the team, then I guess there's no reason why that couldn't work.
Oh, whoa.
What I'm wondering is what the lineup is going to look like when Draymond comes back. Because if Chris Paul is still in the starting lineup, then that means you have to take out Looney or Wiggins. And I don't think you take out Wiggins, which means you take out Looney, so you lose some size there. So, and that was more my whole thing with Chris Paul being on the Warriors. I was like, it was less, I guess it was more for me about you have 6 people who you can legitimately start, and if you take any one of them out, the lineup changes drastically. So I'm not sure when Draymond comes back who they pull. I guess that's just really my question.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing for me too. What does this team look like? Because Chris Paul is essentially playing the same role that Draymond was playing last year as that
just
primary,
as a guard, yeah.
as that primary decision maker, as that primary
distributor. That's a great distributor. Comparison, actually. Yeah, that's a great comparison.
So how do they work? And really, I mean, Chris Paul went 0 for 2 from 3. I think he went like 0 for 5 or 0 for 6 in game 1. If he's unable to show that outside presence off ball, then you're going to have him, Draymond, two guys that you can kind of play off when they don't have the ball. And then that's going to allow teams, and especially if they play Looney with both those guys, which I think they can't. But if they were to play Looney, then that's three guys you don't have to play tight off ball. So then that'll make it easier for teams to put to help out on Curry, help out on Thompson. And I just don't know how Golden State is going to do that. Because, I mean, honestly, Chris Paul hasn't been able to be that prolific of a scorer for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely different for him to be off ball like that, catching and shooting. He's not as used to that for his career.
I'll tell you what, the Warriors absolutely hit on Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody.
They looked great tonight.
Both of those guys are studs.
Mm-hmm. Kuminga looked really good. Moody hit some really big shots. That second unit for them looked completely different.
Yeah. And like we were just talking about, when Draymond comes back, that's just adding one of the current starters right now to the bench, which is only going to bolster that second unit even more. Like, they're going to be running like 8-9 guys deep.
I think you got to throw, I mean, we talked about this before when the trade went down. I think you got to throw Chris Paul on the bench. If he's
that was what we were saying at the beginning.
Which I get. I mean, I think that he can be a part of those late game lineups. I mean, he does make great decisions. And he adds like a calming factor to that team, right? Like, he just knows he's not going to make a mistake late in games. I honestly didn't think he was that crazy, because Curry was the ultimate equalizer. It didn't matter what everyone else did. I mean, Wiggins had kind of a pedestrian game. Looney didn't go crazy. Thompson only had 18. But Curry went in fuego and was ultra efficient in this game. And I think that was like the ultimate equalizer for that team.
Well, and Curry and Katie had sort of pointed it out on the broadcast that if there was ever time to make a run against the Warriors, it's when Curry goes out. But and she had also mentioned that, you know, Chris Paul's on the floor and he's going to provide, like you said, that calming presence. That's really where I think Chris Paul's going to make the biggest difference for them, is in those non-Steph Curry minutes in games, you throw Chris Paul out there to just keep everybody level-headed and keep the offense sort of just moving along. Like, they're not going to give up a big lead, because he's just going to make sure that they don't, that they don't make any dumb mistakes. Which I'm not saying that the Warriors are necessarily historically a team that does that, but you have the ultimate, like we had talked about, floor general out there in place of Steph Curry. And that's going to be absolutely huge for them.
What if the Kings were to just – because there's a guy that I've been super impressed with through two games of his NBA career. What if they were to, down the line, get Sasha involved in the starting lineup, and you go Fox, Murray at the 2, Barnes at the 3, Sasha at the 4, and Sabonis at the 5.
That's a huge starting lineup.
And that might be the biggest starting lineup in the NBA.
Yeah, like, and next to like Denver.
You're not sacrificing shooting, because Sasha's already shown he's maybe one of the best three-point outside shooters on the team.
Yeah, he's so far through two games, and I know it's been in a limited sample size right now, but he's a stud.
Dude's not afraid.
No, he's not, and I love it.
I mean, that's the tough part about tonight. Like, I wish we got more Sasha. I wish HB was a little bit more aggressive, because he went 4 of 5, 1 of 2 from 3. He missed 3 free throws, which is kind of unlike Harrison, but he was in fuego against Utah and he was just kind of passive tonight. Like, he was a quiet 10 for sure.
He was. bringing in Sasha. That would be interesting. Sending Herter to the bench and bringing Sasha in.
Yeah.
That's a huge lineup. How tall is Sasha? He is, let's see, he's 6'8". And that would mean that Murray would be your two, who yep. right now he's R4. And yeah, he's 6'8 as well.
I mean, that is a huge lineup that can shoot.
And then Barnes is
6'8.
Are they all 6'8?
Well, Sabonis is a 6'10. That I mean, that is absolutely
nuts. He's 6'8. So from 2 to 4, you have 6'8.
I don't know.
Three 6'8 guys.
I just love to see it as the league is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. What if the Kings were just like, nah, we're gonna get bigger, and we don't care.
Yeah. That might help them defensively a little bit too, especially if they decided to switch to like a zone mid game, just to like clog up the lanes.
Yeah, and I mean Kevin Herter's listed at 6'7". It's not like he's
he's not tiny. Short. Yeah,
I
he just
really
doesn't
want,
feel big.
I really want Kevin to just get it going. He was phenomenal last year.
He's the shortest 6'7 person I've ever seen.
But that doesn't make any sense.
No, but like, how is he 6'7? How in the world is it? You could have given me 5 guesses, and there's no way I would have guessed he was 6'7. I never would have landed on that.
He's like shorter than Curry. So
somebody's lying. Google is lying to you.
Big, well, I'm on ESPN. Big question, Jason. Are you worried by some things that you saw tonight for the Kings, and particularly if they were to match up against Golden State in, say, the playoffs?
No, not at the moment, because we're only 2 games in. The biggest thing for me, like, I think the offense will be fine. I think they'll figure it out. The biggest thing for me is that the defense doesn't look any different. I feel like that would have been that. Obviously, I think we all assume that that was probably a huge point of emphasis for them in the offseason. And it just doesn't look any different. Like, there are spurts where they go and you're like, oh, man, this is great. Like, you guys are playing really, really hard on defense. But, like, tonight, the biggest thing, like, when you're not hitting shots, you have to get stops. There's no – which is a duh thing to say. But, like, I don't know. They can't – they need to be able to beat you more than one way, I guess is what I'm saying. They can only really beat people one way right now, and that's just imploding on teams offensively. Just going – or not imploding, exploding on people offensively. Like, just by scoring 130 points like they did against the Jazz. It's on the nights where they can't score 130 and they have to, and they're only going to be scoring about 110. They need to be able to string together stops, and they just – can't do that. They can't beat you in any given way. Like on the games where they have where it's ugly, they don't win ugly games.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's like their one piece away. Like if they had like the fact that the Warriors can throw out a Wiggins, like he presents a challenge for all of the best perimeter scorers in the NBA because he is so athletic and so long and such a great defender that they're able to throw him out against your De'Aaron Foxes, your Jimmy Butlers, your Tatums, like all these guys in the league, they have sort of like a match for that. And the Kings don't really have that and haven't had that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest part. Like, we can talk about system all we want, but they need personnel or people to step up. If that's a Chris Duarte, then awesome. If it's a Kessler Edwards, I haven't really seen it, but that'd be incredible, right?
Yeah.
Which
is why I was saying I don't think I'm going to mind if Duarte sneaks into the starting lineup, because I think if anybody has a chance of doing that, it would be him.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not mad. I mean, he's an Oregon guy, so already thinking about getting his jersey. Don't worry about that. That three that he shot in the corner.
Oh, at the end?
Yeah, when it clanked off the backboard, I was like, oh my God.
That's what I said, too. I like stood up for it and then immediately fell back onto the couch.
Yeah, you just can't.
I was like, yes. Oh.
You can't be 0-for-4 from three.
No. Well, I mean, and the Kings can't be 12-for-42 from the 3-point line.
Well, and they started like 6-for-12, and then I think they got to like 8 in the first half, and then they went 4-for-25 mm-hmm. in the second half. It was just so bad.
Yeah, they were rolling in the first quarter.
But I'm not mad. They created a lot of good looks. I think Keegan Murray's going to have a good year. He's going to average something like 18 a game.
Yeah, he'll take a massive.
He looks good. I liked him.
Which will be a lot of fun.
I like him. I can't wait until he.
Go ahead.
I like him expanding his mid range game a lot mm-hmm. because last year it just seemed like, oh, all he had was a catch and shoot three. But yeah.
I can't wait till they play the Blazers and they play his brother.
Oof. The Kings wanted his brother.
I've never seen identical twins that look more identical than them.
Not the Morris twins?
No. No, it was startling tonight because Natalie did not know that he had a twin brother.
Oh, so she thought he got traded?
Well, no. Like, when she found out that he did have a brother and she saw a picture, she was like, well, somebody just Photoshopped this. Like, this isn't real.
Right.
And then Bree hadn't seen him either, so I pulled up a picture of them. And I was just looking at it. I was like, this is startling. Like, it really is creepy how I mean, obviously identical twins, you'd assume they look alike, but like they are literal, like, put you in like a copier machine and just spat out the same person.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. It is kind of creepy. But you were at game one, right? I mean, not at game one, but you were downtown for game one, right?
Yeah. And that was incredible.
That must've been fun.
That was incredible, in a restaurant full of Kings fans. And on the flip side, the Kings looked like mid-season form. I think that was the biggest thing I could take away. It was like, oh, that was the big worry, right? Like, is there going to be a letdown this year from the Kings looking incredible last year? Are they going to take a step back? And as soon as I saw that performance in game one, I was like, oh no, this is like the exact same team. Like,
this wasn't a fluke. Yeah.
We're fine. Like, even though they lost to Golden State knows them probably better than any team in the NBA.
Yeah.
So yeah, the fact that they struggle against them isn't that big of a deal, but against everyone else outside their division, they're going to be fine.
The Lakers, we got the Lakers on Sunday. That'll be a lot of fun. Yep. And then we get to see the Warriors again on Wednesday. That'll
Incredible.
Be fun as well.
Who made this schedule?
I know. Warriors, Lakers, Warriors, back to back. That is something. And then they get the Rockets twice and then the Trailblazers. So schedule softens up a little bit there. Yeah. Obviously you gotta take every team seriously. But man, back to back road games against the Rockets too. It's not like it like alternates. It's in Houston.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, it'll be good. Well, I'm happy it's Kings basketball. Man, just like you've been talking about, especially after the downer couple weeks I've had with the Niners, it's awesome to have the Kings look forward to.
Yeah, and the Kings only have, it looks like, 5 home games between now and the start of, like, between the start of the season and November 24th. Like, they are on the road a ton to start this season.
Yeah.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah. Yeah, because there's a 6-game road trip from November 17th to November 15th to November 24th.
Wow.
Man. Well,
I think that's actually like a good test for them because teams are kind of built on the road. You don't have any distractions. You're not with your family. You're with the team. You're with the guys. You're traveling with them. You're doing all these things and kind of builds you in that way, sort of hardens you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yeah, it's just that's brutal. That is a little bit brutal to start the season that heavy on the road. But I guess you're right. I mean, I think I'd probably prefer to end the season with a lot of home games than start the season with a lot of home games.
Yeah.
Also, I have to point out that Alex Len, his Google picture right now looks like a picture from when he was in high school. It is kind of ridiculous. I need to update that. Man's 30 years old, and this picture looks like it was taken in 2000. It doesn't even look like the same guy. Oh, man. I wonder when we're going to get an Alex Len sighting. Probably won't once you Vail playing now. So. Alrighty. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, it was a good half an hour on the Kings. Splits the show right in half. Say we timed that almost intentionally, which it kind of was.
You did.
Let's move on to some football. I had said earlier this week that the Kings were the perfect distraction from the fact that the Raiders probably couldn't win the Rose Bowl right now. And I still believe that. My mom had texted me after the game. She said, "That's it. I'm done. Fire McDaniels." I was like, I said that 2 years ago. So welcome to,
welcome to the team. She just got here? Oh, man.
I was like, welcome to the team.
She is a patient woman.
For the life of me, I still don't understand why we started Brian Hoyer. I don't get it. Do you know who has the longest active losing streak of any quarterback in the NFL right now?
I think it's he won what in 2015?
It is Brian Hoyer. He's 0-13 in his last 13 starts as a quarterback. And I don't know why we decided to start him. I really, you know, that the only touchdown that was thrown that game was when Aiden O'Connell was brought in. Brian Hoyer had almost the entire game to throw a touchdown, and he threw two interceptions.
I don't get why Aiden O'Connell didn't start.
I don't either. He played, honestly, like, he played pretty well against the Chargers. But all things considered, having that been his first start, and the team basically was like, you know what? Just go out there and throw it all around the yard.
Yep.
He played pretty well. And I'm seeing a report right now that ESPN Jeremy Fowler believe that they're not going to go back to Hoyer. That if Jimmy can't play, then Aiden's going to be the dude. Which again, I don't know why that wasn't the case initially. But let's move past that. I just needed to, at least for a second, talk about the absurdity that was that decision, because it didn't make any sense to me then. Being almost a week removed from it, it still doesn't make any sense to me now.
Yeah.
I can't justify that at all. But at least we're 3-4, I guess. It's all I have to say. Because the Chargers are 2-4 and the Broncos are 2-5. So you know what?
Yeah.
We're second in the division. So thumbs up, I guess. But let's turn it to another thumbs up, I guess, which is your team, because they're 5-2.
Yeah, man.
But man, the last couple weeks for them, not great. The thumbs up is that they've won 5 games, but the I guess part is what happened in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, after 5 weeks, it seemed like the Niners were just destined to win the Super Bowl, and now they've lost back-to-back games to bad teams, and they didn't look, they didn't look good in either game.
And neither did Purdy.
Nope, they're probably his two worst starts of his career. He's questionable to play this Sunday with a concussion. But there's not really a lot I can say. Like, it's just nothing was going – they looked completely different than – the team that beat Dallas in week 5. That was the biggest thing. They couldn't run the ball and couldn't string good offensive drives together. And they really had a chance to win against Cleveland late, and against Minnesota with taking away that fluke touchdown at the end of the first half when Tre'Davious Ward had the pick and got taken away by Jordan Addison. I mean, that was just ridiculous, dumb luck. And Kirk Cousins, man, he played an absolutely phenomenal game.
Yeah, he went nuts.
With how he avoided the rush without Justin Jefferson. I mean, he just tore apart the Niners defense.
Yeah, he was 35 for 45, 378 with two touchdowns and one interception. But yeah, he went crazy. He played really well. And just like that, look who's now 3-4 and back in the playoff conversation. Yeah. The Vikings have pulled themselves out of a massive hole and have strung together a couple really good games. Mm-hmm. They're 3-4 now. And with the way that the NFC is shaping up right now, they very easily could. Well, actually, let's see. Yeah, so I think they'd be in currently, unless they hold – I don't know who holds the tiebreaker between the Vikings and the Buccaneers, but they might be in, depending on tiebreakers, if the season ended right now. The only other game that I really wanted to point out was the Lions-Ravens game.
Uh-huh.
Because that game, that was a huge statement from – again, I think with the Lions – I don't want to overreact to that game because I think every good team is due for like a dud throughout the year.
Yep.
And that was the Lions' dud. Like the Ravens just jumped on them and they never looked back. And that'll happen. Like then if it's a long season, that's going to happen. But the Ravens, wow, Lamar 21 for 27, 357, three touchdowns. He ran for 36 yards and another touchdown, which was amazing for fantasy, let me tell you. They put up 503 yards of total offense.
Yep.
It was they looked so good. And I guess my question really is if the Chiefs right now are the standard in the AFC, are the Ravens the next one?
I mean, they've been up and down this year. They've had a couple of really bad showings. I don't know if we can really do the NFL justice by picking, like, ranking these teams. It's so in flux.
This season has felt really weird from that standpoint.
Yeah, there's nothing convincing about this season for me.
Well, like the Dolphins are the perfect example of that, right? Like they have beaten up on really bad teams mm-hmm. and then just gotten manhandled against the two best teams that they've played.
Yeah. And who knows? Is that going to be their MO for the rest right. of the rest of the year?
And then the 49ers, same thing.
The only thing that I'm certain of is that when we proclaim teams as, oh man, is this team bound for the Super Bowl? Like the Lions. That was the biggest thing after their win against Tampa, and they were 5-1 with the big post-game celebration with in their locker room. We got five on them. That whole thing, and they go out and lay an egg. That reminded me a lot of San Francisco after they just destroyed Dallas and laid an egg in Cleveland. I think as soon as we proclaim, big one was after the Bills beat Miami. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, these Bills, are they going to win the AFC? And then they go out and lay a dud against Jacksonville. It's like as soon as we proclaim a team is the top, they go out and lose or struggle. So look for Baltimore to lose to Arizona this weekend.
Right.
As simple as I can say. And I think even if you were to go down the line of looking at individuals' power rankings, I don't think no two of them would be the same.
Probably not.
It's all about personal preference.
At this point. Why did the Bills lose to the Patriots? Like
the Patriots have looked dead the entire year.
They've looked like the worst team. and the Bills, like I don't know why they didn't beat up on the Giants. You know,
yep, struggled so, with like, them.
They've put up like their past 4 weeks have not been good. They lose to the Jags. Granted, that was a London game, so I get that circumstances are a little bit different. But they lose to the Jags. They barely beat the Giants. They lose to the Patriots, and they don't put away the Buccaneers. who they're clearly better than.
They were controlling that game.
I know that they were controlling that game, but to only win by 6, and I know it's a Thursday night game, and yep. Thursday night games are always weird.
Thursday night games are weird.
But again, Thursday night games are weird, I think, for reasons of more like, I feel like the games are either lopsided or they're just boring.
Well, that game was pretty boring.
But that just, I don't know, the game felt,
well, let me tell you, like,
way closer than
Kansas City, Denver a couple weeks ago on Thursday night. Like, that was 19-8. It's like that game was awful. And are we convinced, really, like, Kansas City looked that good? No, but they got the win. And that was on Thursday night. Like, that's the biggest thing you could take away. Like, Buffalo found a way to win. Am I encouraged by that? Like, does that make me think, oh, man, they're going to win that division? Not really. Like, that team still has a lot of things to figure out, but they were able to get the win.
Mm-hmm. There was a stat that I wanted to look up and give to you.
I think we got to wait at least probably 3 weeks until we can make a power rankings.
Probably. Probably.
I don't think we can, like, really establish anyone as anything at this point.
Oh, here was the stat that I wanted to give you, and this, I should have brought this up earlier. There's one of my favorite sports accounts on Instagram that I follow is called WTF Stats. Mm-hmm. And they have a comparison between Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara's, like, career stats.
Yeah.
And their numbers are about as identical in every, in touches, scrimmage yards, touchdowns, carries, rush yards, reception, receiving yards. They are about as identical as, like, you could possibly get. Like, their scrimmage yards, they're less than 20 yards apart from each other. Their touchdowns, 71-72 in favor of Kamara. Their rush yards are within 100 yards of each other. McCaffrey only has 3 more receptions. And in terms of receiving yards, McCaffrey only has, like, 50 more. It's kind of eerie how close they are, considering the fact that they were drafted both in 2017, which is funny because I feel like when people talk about McCaffrey, he's like, oh, he's clearing away, like, the best running back in the league. And Kamara is not necessarily viewed that way anymore.
How many games played?
That they don't have.
Is that not on there?
That they don't have.
I would have to assume. I mean, both guys have missed time.
They both have missed time, yeah.
But I feel like McCaffrey's had to have missed more.
I think so. But, I mean, Kamara, he just had that big injury, and he had the suspension, too.
So when you were saying that, I'm not surprised about receptions. I'm not surprised about, like, yards. But touchdowns, like, Kamara the last couple years hasn't been able to get in the end zone consistently. And that's just wild that they're that close.
Yeah, it's – I was just looking at it, and I thought that was really interesting because I don't think people think of him that way anymore. Like, there was a brief moment in time where I think that people assumed that he was either the best or, like, the second best, you know, running back in the league. But he's not that anymore, and McCaffrey is viewed that way. It was just – when I was reading those stats, I found myself going back over them, just like I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, that is very surprising. I mean, Kamara does look like he's his old self this season, after taking 4 weeks off to start the year, it's a little extended vacation. But man, that is interesting. The Niners for me to end the, I guess, sort of the football preview talk, the Niners have to win this game against Cincinnati to get this ship back on track.
Yes, they absolutely do. And they're playing against a Cincinnati team who is
better.
they're starting to put their stuff together.
Yeah, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to absolutely light up this San Francisco defense. I mean, their secondary has just been so bad.
I have an answer for how many games they've played. Kamara, over the course of his career, has played 92. McCaffrey has played 82.
It's not that big of a difference.
Yeah. Either way, I agree with you. They have to win this game, and it's a must-win game for the Bengals too, right? Like,
yeah, because they can't gain any ground on their division.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just keep winning.
So, like, with the Ravens playing the way that they are, they can't afford to drop a game. And the Browns are 4-2, and the Steelers somehow are 4-2. Like, they can't drop this game. And we'll get to actually, we can get to the picks right now. I don't know. So the Steelers play the Jags. The Steelers are at home. Mm-hmm. And then the Browns play the Seahawks. Okay, so both teams are playing relatively tough games.
No, Pittsburgh's at home.
Pittsburgh's at home. The Browns are on the road. The Ravens, I know that they play this week.
At Arizona.
Yeah, they play Arizona. Yeah. So,
man, that division is tough.
Yeah, they got to – I don't know how the Steelers are 4-2. I also don't know how I'm 1-5.
Dude, I killed you.
You did.
I killed you last week.
You did. It was 5-2.
Which games? Oh, you won on that. I won the Browns
game. Eagles game. The Browns and the Eagles game.
That Browns game was such a joke.
It was. The Colts got screwed.
I don't know what API is anymore.
You know, we didn't even talk about that. But you know, that was
like
bad.
There's years there where we didn't know what a catch is, and I think we have some sort of a definition now. But PI, I thought they automatically call it when the defensive back has their back turned towards the quarterback when the ball is coming in and they're making contact. That I thought was like, oh, that's
usually
automatic.
Usually a dead giveaway.
Right. And then second is this thing of uncatchable ball. Waves off all contact, all foul.
I know.
Right?
That's so subjective.
Those were like the two linchpins for me that I like, okay, I have these straight. But now I've seen on different occasions late in games where a D-back head towards receiver, back towards quarterback, doesn't find ball, has hands all over, and no flag is thrown. And it's like, okay, that's a little confusing. And then the Cleveland-Indianapolis game, that's not a catchable ball. The ball ends up in the stands, and they throw a flag on that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I've lost all reasons. It's literally going to be to a point where Jenna's going to look to me like, oh, what's that call? And I'm like, I don't know.
Like, anymore. I feel you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Let's wait to see what the refs come up with. Oh, and that spotting call in the Pittsburgh Rams game.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not reviewed?
I don't know. And it's such a shame too to have, because it feels like each week now like we come on and there's like at least one game where you go, okay, why? I really don't know why this, like, there should be rules in place to fix this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a shame when you have to come on and talk about stuff other than the game. But the Colts got screwed left, right, and center at the end of that game twice. It was like the refs were just trying to give the Browns that game, especially with the uncatchable ball one. Like, I don't have any defensible explanation as to why the refs decided to call that PI, because that it was so.
It's back to back games.
Victor Wembanyama couldn't have caught that pass.
Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that take.
Yeah, I'm surprised other people. I haven't. I mean, I'm not surprised other people have made that take. Like that is.
He's an alien.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way.
That's the ref goes up to the Colts. Well, Wembanyama would have caught that.
Right. Like, exactly.
I guess you're right.
They bring out a Wembanyama stick. Like, all right. Was it at least above 10 feet tall?
Did you see that clip of Dallas? Like a Dallas trainer was wearing pads that stretch. Yeah, they bring out one of like those pads, and they're like, "See, it's within Wembanyama's wingspan. He would have caught it."
Smart. It's a smart idea.
That's wild. That's back-to-back games that the Browns have been saved because of controversial penalties. And I'm not even mad about the ones against the Niners. Like, the Niners didn't deserve to win that game. But it was still, like, announcers are sitting there like, I don't really see that call. And then Gene Steratore, one of those refs that are with the networks, are like, yeah, I don't see that call either. They should call this back. And then, nope. We're going ahead with it.
Well, despite that right now is the best division in football right now in terms of record. And the Steelers, despite having scored the second least amount of points this season in the entire AFC, somehow are 4-2.
Yep.
They have scored the only team that is behind them right now is the Patriots. And we were talking recently about how dreadful the Patriots offense has been.
Yep.
The Patriots scored 101 points. The Steelers have scored 103.
Wow.
So.
And the Steelers have wins against the Browns, Ravens in that division.
Yeah, but – and actually – oh, sorry. They've scored the third least amount of points in the AFC because one team that I was not looking at the moment is actually the Bengals, who've only scored 100 points this season, actually one less than those lowly Patriots. That's crazy. And then the Titans, 104. And the Steelers sitting at 103. So at least the Raiders made it up to 112, baby. Let's go. All right. Let's see if I can make it up to two wins.
Yeah, what is it? You say it's 4-1?
It's 5-1 right now. You're up 5-1.
So I just need 4 more wins and this season's sewn up.
And it's over. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're still not gonna keep rolling with picks. I mean I want a final record, but like
no, you might as well like just start picking what I'm picking because
honestly.
I got the hot hand.
All right, Jets Giants. Giants are at home.
Give me the Jets.
I think Tyrod is
still
going to play.
Yes.
I'll take the Jets on the road in that one as well. Jaguars, Steelers. Steelers at home, Jags on the road, early game.
Give me – I will take the Steelers.
Jags have put together a nice little stretch.
Yep.
Win against the Falcons in London, another win against the Bills in London. They take care of the Colts, and then they take care of the Saints on a short week on a Thursday night.
Yep.
Put together a nice little stretch. I'll take the Jags on the road.
That's what I want you to do.
I'm sure it is. Because anytime I've picked against you, it seems to have gone in your favor. Jags, Steelers. All right. Eagles, Commanders. I'll take the Eagles on the road. They looked really good this past week.
They looked like they were just like last year, man.
AJ Brown is pretty good. A machine.
Yeah, they got weapons. They got studs all across that.
Is AJ Brown like a top three wide receiver in the league? I was hearing that discussion this past week, and it might be true.
I don't know, man. Tyreek, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Devontae. Jamar Chase,
but
AJ Brown.
In terms of this season, he certainly has been. I think a top three.
Tyreek, and then. Oh man!
I mean, so far through this season, he has 52 catches, 809 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's averaging 15.5 yards per catch.
Yep.
That's insane.
And he's been going off in the last couple of games.
Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been really good.
He's got 5 straight games of over 120 yards. That is mighty fine.
I'd say he's a top three wide receiver.
At least currently, right now. I think if we're just talking about this season.
I wouldn't want the Niners to face him. Right. Dude, eat those DBs apart.
All right. Rams, Cowboys. Cowboys at home, early game.
It's a tough one. Both teams are kind of poo-poo.
Yeah, both teams are not great.
I'd take Dallas, I guess.
I think so too. I think the Rams are like they're good, but I don't think they're good enough to pick against Dallas in Dallas. Like that, like I think of like if you think of like the mid level teams in the NFL, they feel like they're a very like top tier mid level team. And that's kind of where I would keep them at. Like they're a really solid three. Like their 3-4 feels so much better than like the Raiders 3-4. Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys as well. Vikings, Packers. Packers, Jordan Love has really fallen off recently. I'll take the Vikings on the road.
I'm going to take the Packers.
They'll probably win by like 5 touchdowns.
Well, I just think I'm using the logic of this. That was Minnesota's probably best win of the year this last week. Mm-hmm. And knowing this season, there's going to be a drop-off.
Huh? Yeah, this season's strange. Falcons-Titans.
Gross
Falcons.
Game.
Falcons 4-3.
This is the game that I probably least want to watch. I think Tannehill is out.
Yeah.
And there's still only 2.5-point underdogs.
I think I'm still going to take the Falcons without Tannehill. Like their only chance, I think, is if Derrick Henry goes ballistic.
Weird that Bijan didn't play.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, I mean, he just didn't get a lot. Like, he got, like, 2 touches.
I think they said he was battling an illness, I think.
That's just wild.
I don't know.
That they didn't disclose that before.
Yeah, I believe that that's what it was. I don't think it was just a random thing, but
I'll take the Falcons for now.
Okay. Patriots Dolphins. I think we'll both take the Dolphins in that situation.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable taking.
Yeah. Saints Colts. That's a very interesting game.
Yeah. Big time. I mean, you got the Saints who are playing like not good, and the Colts have looked really good in every game they've played. They've been competitive, yeah. Except against Jacksonville.
Yeah, they've played well all week, but all year.
The Saints are favored on the road.
I think I lean Colts.
Yeah,
and just slightly. Again, like their 3-4 feels so much better than the Saints 3-4. You know.
Yeah, Saints are only 3-4. I will take Colts for now.
Yeah, I agree. I think I want to take the Saints, but
that's a tough game.
It is. I think that might be the hardest game to pick this week.
Because the Saints defense can just take over that game.
Yeah.
And Gardner Minshew, Gardner Minshew is human.
My man might be the best backup quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know, man. Sam Darnold.
You can't
come out this week.
And you can't tell me right now that the Commanders wouldn't be better off right now with Gardner Minshew than Sam Howell.
Or Atlanta.
Yeah, or Atlanta. Like that, my man's playing outstanding football right now. Texans, Panthers. Take the Texans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Browns, Seahawks. Okay, I know I just said that the Saints Colts game might be the toughest game to pick. This one's close.
Not for me. I'm going Seahawks.
Well, I'm going to go Seahawks too, but I don't. But the Browns defense is scary good. Myles Garrett is yep. Just a freak of nature.
He's a better Max Crosby,
which by de facto means he's a better Nick Bosa.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm glad we didn't talk about it. Nick has not looked good this year. Nope. He's just not getting there.
No, he's not.
And that was so frustrating.
On a much better defense than what Max is dealing with right now.
That Vikings game was calling for Nick to just take over.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't show up.
If my dad makes it to the end of this episode, he's smiling very hard right now.
Good.
Bengals 49ers.
Wait, that's not to say that Max showed up. Where was he in that Chicago game?
I think he still got a sack, though.
Did he really?
Let me pull it up real quick. Let me before I come to total defense.
Running back and backup QB just lit them up.
Yeah, he still got a sack.
Good for him.
Still got a sack.
I mean, they just bludgeoned your defense.
Yes, they did. We don't have to talk about it. 49ers, I'll take the Niners against the Bengals. I'll take the Chiefs against the Broncos and the Ravens against the Cardinals. Any?
Whoa. Okay. No, I'm taking the Cardinals.
You're taking the Cardinals. He's playing the trends.
Well, I got a couple weeks to spare.
That's
on you.
That is a fair point. Chargers, Bears.
Ew. Gross.
Ew.
So the Chargers are 8.5-point favorites. That seems completely wrong.
Bro, I am rooting so hard for Tyson Badgett.
I mean, give me the Chargers, but there's no way.
Give me the Chargers too.
There's no way I'd bet them.
No. No, not the Chargers. You'd bet any other team in the NFL on anything other than the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take them
as well. Yeah, true. I mean, they're just going to find a way to make that game close.
And then, unfortunately for the national audience, the Raiders had to play the Lions on national TV in Detroit.
Are you taking the Raiders?
I have maintained on this show since the beginning.
I'm going to give you an out, man. You don't have to take this Raiders team as long as McDaniels is still the head coach.
Here's the thing, though.
In protest.
The out for me would be you just picking the Raiders, because I'm effectively giving you a game by picking the Raiders.
I've picked the Raiders a lot this year. I picked the Raiders last week.
You picked them a few times. But I have maintained that I'm not picking against.
I'm telling you, this isn't your Raiders, man. This is McDaniel's Raiders.
No, it is my Raiders, but but look, I'm rooting for the team. I'm not rooting for the coach.
I'm gonna take the Raiders.
Okay.
Because then we're at four games.
You don't have to pick the Raiders.
No, but I want
it makes no logical sense to take. What is the spread on that game?
I think it was 8.5.
I was gonna guess 8.5.
No, it's 7.5.
Okay, I was gonna guess 8.5. The only thing I've been able to guess this season are the spread on games. That's the only thing I've been able to land
on. You have to switch on one because I'm taking way too many underdogs.
I have to switch on one. Okay, well, we're at 3 right now.
I thought we were at 4.
No, because you didn't take the Raiders. I mean, because you didn't take the Lions, so we're at 3.
Who did it? Oh, I wrote down the Eagles for no reason. Don't worry, I can find one.
I'll find one then as well. So many juicy games to maybe switch on. I don't know. It's really tough. All right, I think I've got mine.
Oh, you do?
Let's see if it's the same one you're thinking. We'll leave some suspense in the air. You're gonna take the Bears because Jenna's right behind you.
No. Do I want to take that team? No, they've kind of been mean to me the last couple weeks.
Let's go. Let's not have a lot of dead air here.
I'm considering either the Rams or the Titans.
Okay, so that's not who I'm looking at.
And I feel like this year I've leaned towards the Rams a lot, and they've let me down. But the Titans are the OG team of letting me down.
Yes.
So I'm going to take the Rams for that reason.
Okay.
I think that was sound logic.
Okay, so
shout out Marcus Mariota led Rams or Titans team.
Rams over the boys. And then against
the boys to men.
Boys. And then against my better judgment, I will take the Browns over the Seahawks.
Ooh. Oh. Hey, they found a way to win a couple games.
Yes, they have, despite Deshaun Watson just sucking.
So I'm taking the Seahawks, Cardinals, and Rams and 49ers. I'm taking all of the NFC West.
Every week that you say that, you still win. So I don't want to hear it.
Oh, you're getting salty.
No, but what I'm saying is that I'm not necessarily
that I'm Steph Curry this year, bro. Everything I put up is going in.
I'm not salty. I'm saying that like you're hitting. So like I know that you're saying you're taking all of these like bad teams, but it's like it's working for you. So like
roll last with week it. Last week was nuts.
Yeah, just roll with it, like.
Because the Giants pick was absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
Who'd the Falcons beat?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Didn't the Broncos win?
They beat the Buccaneers.
Oh, that wasn't that crazy of a pick. Who'd the Broncos beat?
The Broncos beat the Packers.
Yeah, so I hit on the Giants, Broncos, and Falcons, betting on them.
Right.
Well, not literally betting on them, but like, and then the Colts should have got, like, I picked some awful teams. The NFL is just gross this year.
It is a bit weird this year.
That's the only reason why I'm just kicking your ass.
I have a one last final stat for you.
Mm-hmm.
That just disappeared off my screen. So that was really bad. I clicked.
Who do you think the Super Bowl favorite is right now?
Oh, here you go. Here you go. This is from Trey Wingo. This is from his Twitter account. I'm just scrolling through like some interesting stats. Mm-hmm. Of all the ridiculous Patrick Mahomes numbers out there, this one is the most ridiculous. With Mahomes under center in the with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have never lost a road division game as they head to Denver. They are 16-0.
Wow.
That's madness.
But has there been any good teams in that division during that time? I guess there was the Raiders.
The Raiders had a couple years. Yeah, the Raiders had a spurt. And the
Raiders only beat them in Arrowhead. They never beat them in like Oakland or Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. The Raiders had two like spurts where they were relatively decent within the past. Like, no, because I guess the year that they went 12-4, Mahomes, I don't think was there yet. I think that was the final Alex Smith year.
Oh,
I can't remember because the Raiders went 12-4. They fell off for like a season or two where they were hanging around like 8-8. And then they had that another playoff run. So that's so crazy to me that the Raiders really have been the only team to like sort of push for the playoffs in the past couple years. Cause the Chargers, like, I mean, sure they made it to the playoffs, but I don't know. They were never really like, and they were still the Chargers. They lose so creatively.
The Chargers lost to the Raiders in the last game of the season.
Yes, which was, oh my gosh, one of the
which
most
was for the playoffs.
Yeah, that was one of the most fun Raiders games I've ever watched in my entire life.
Wow.
That was so much fun.
So you're telling me that your life has been filled with the Chiefs dominating and the Warriors dominating.
Yeah.
The divisions of your teams.
Yeah, I've never watched my team win a championship. At least you've gotten to see the Giants win a handful of championships.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely saw those. I'd trade all three of those in for a Kings title.
Oh, yes. I agree.
There is no way. And I've seen the Niners lose a couple in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my dad about it. I think the Niners have the opportunity to be like likened to that Buffalo Bills team that went to the Super Bowl four straight times. Because it feels like the Niners have been in that title picture.
Yeah, so close.
The last like 4 years. And it just, if they don't win it this year, next year, I think guys are just going to get too old or too expensive. And this team is going to be completely different. And they're going to miss that opportunity.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Well, hopefully you guys can get it done. I'm rooting for you.
Well, yeah, you don't have to root for the Raiders anymore. So.
I still have to root for them, but I can. It'll be for me once the playoffs start. It'll be anybody but the Chiefs. So I'll be rooting hard for the Eagles, and then I'll be rooting hard for the 49ers, and whoever gets there, that's who my vote is in the championship. So if the Cowboys get there, then I'm not rooting for, I will root for the Chiefs over the Cowboys.
I don't even want to live in a world where the Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
That would be – if the Cowboys and Chiefs made the Super Bowl – oh, my God. That would be horrendous. That would be horrendous. Holy smokes. I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, have fun going to sleep with that one.
I know. All right, well – we made it to the end of the episode. Thank you all so much for sticking with us. We really do appreciate it. Sorry for the late episode this week, but we were holding off until we got a little bit of Kings action under our belt. And, the beginning of the episode started off a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but that's okay. We've got a long season and a few more opportunities to just hammer the Warriors' faces in, which I hope happens at least once. At least once, at a bare minimum. So, all right, next time we see you all, have a couple more Kings games. We'll have some NFL games to talk about. It'll be a lot of fun. We just love sports. We just love sports this time of year, right? Like, it's – and the World Series is going on right now as well. It's just a awesome –
news fest.
I only had clocked in a little bit at the beginning of the game when it was 3-2. I didn't actually see who won.
I couldn't care less.
Okay.
World Series.
All right. Well, then there's that. So, all right, everybody.
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Everybody have a great weekend. We will see you all very soon.
See ya.